Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. As promised, joining us right now on the fan hotline, gentleman who started his basketball career right here in Cleveland, John Hay High School. Should have been a Cleveland Cavalier. Was drafted by the Cleveland Cavaliers. I'm sorry, I'll never get over the fact that Keith Lee came to the Cavs for Charles Oakley. Charles Oakley joining us right now. Hello, Charles.
Hey, Charles.
Hey, how y'all going?
We are well. How are you? Yeah, good to have you with us. We were trying
to be in Cleveland, having a good time today.
Good. We were trying to get you yesterday. You were busy doing things. You're helping some folks in Cleveland. It's a terrific opportunity. Explain what you're doing.
So we down at Luther Metropolitan. It's a shelter, and giving guys a meal all their lifetime. And this is my fourth time coming down here doing this. This is my hometown. This is my staple. And I just, you know, I'm so glad I'm be able to come back to do this and put a smile on people's face.
Yeah, Charles, how does that feel? Because like, I've driven by there, you know, a bunch of times, and there's always folks in line. They're always, you know, and you're doing a fantastic job by giving back to the community. I mean, we talk about athletes, former athletes, pro athletes, and they do this. I mean, you don't have to be doing this, but you are doing this today. And I can only imagine just the great energy and the feeling of hope that you're giving those folks down there.
Well, it's just not giving back. I think that when you're in the kitchen, head of the what's going on, the food going out, coming in, and that's what I do. I like to put my boots on the ground. I like, you know, we got here this morning at 4:30. I like to be in the kitchen. I don't just want to pass a meal, and I want to see how they feel. People talk to you, and they want to tell you something. You know, sometimes you got to listen to other people's stories. And I think that, you know, I even do Skid Row in L.A., St. Vincent de Paul. At some of these shelters, people just drop off food and keep going. And I think that when I can stay 10, 12 hours and they like that, they feel, they, you know, that give people hope, you know, not just drop a meal off and leave. And they, and somebody might have a question for you, but never have a chance to ask you. So when I'm here, they ask me a lot of questions and say, when, you know, just come back again. I'll tell you, I will. They said, come back. I said, I will be back. Some people said they were coming back, never come back. So, it's just, I believe in giving, and my whole family did, from my grandparents and my mom, sisters and brothers. So that's what we do as a family.
And Charles, you're there until 1 o'clock today, the Lutheran Metropolitan Ministry in downtown Cleveland on Lakeside Avenue. And really good work, continuing a lot of the good things you've done. And you're there until 1 o'clock, right?
Yes. We, you know, like I said, we got here at 4:30, we leave at 1.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes. It's good. I think that when you sign up for something, just have to do it and do it at a high level. Just don't do it just to pass the time. And that's what I do. I want to make sure when the people see me, they say, man, the food was good, this and that. So that's why I believe in what I do. And I'm glad I have a chance to come down here and do it, especially in my hometown. We do it at other places, but especially here in Cleveland, they need that.
Charles Oakley joining us. And Charles, congrats on the good work. Now, before we get into anything else that matters, I'm sorry. I'm still trying to get over the fact that the Cavaliers drafted you, hometown guy, and traded you away. Forget the fact you played till you were 40. You were a great player. I'm not letting this one go. I haven't let this one go.
I mean, it still bums me out, but he's got to let. Tell him he's got to let it go, man. Just tell him.
Yeah, well, you know, Cleveland, I'm always going to fight for Cleveland. I know that, you know, management sometimes believe in a certain way on doing things, and they let Ron Harper go and a few other guys too back in the days. But, you know, we still going to support Cleveland, even though a lot of people are talking about the mistake on the lake. But I try to, if I hear them say that, I'm going to say, use a mistake, where were you from too? So it's all good.
Charles, how often do you get back home, and, you know, and how much family still have here?
I'm home a lot. You know, my mom turned 90 in April.
Oh, and congratulations.
Yeah, thank you. And we did, me and my sister and cousins, we did like, you know, 150 people 2 days at my mother's house. We've been doing it for the last 10 years. You know, I'm here. I've been here a lot. Every 3 weeks I've been in Cleveland. So I'll be back next weekend. I was here about 2 weeks ago. So I try to be a lot because my mom's getting older. So I just want to be around her more.
That's awesome. I want to talk to you about a bunch of things going on in the NBA. But the one thing I want to start with is this. Why are there no longer a lot of guys, not that there were a lot like you, but guys who have kind of your skill sets and were embraced by organizations for the skills you brought to the game? I would think right now somebody would look at you as great as you were on the basketball court and think, yeah, but does he go out and shoot a lot of threes? And I just, that makes me want to scream.
Well, I think you have to put, when we played back in this, you know, 80s, 90s, you know, them 20 good years of, like, you know, physical and basketball, you have to look at baseball when they knew they was doing, you know, guys was on steroids, but they wanted the numbers to go up. So everything is about a dollar. The NBA found out that, rest in peace, David Stern, was his main goal was to go international. And you see what happened when he go international. Instead of getting the money from one country, getting it from eight, that's why these kids making $40, $50, $60 million, maybe they deserve, maybe they not, but you got to pay them. You got to turn the initial. You got to make sure your bat is strong for the car to run, right? And that's what everything is about, the dollar. Even though they over, NBA is, I said 70% of the guys are overpaid. And they got to keep doing it because they just signed a new bargain deal, what, $76 billion for 11 years? So the money going to go up. It ain't going down. So the low market said they don't have money to pay guys. Oh, sorry about that. They're getting ready for that air show. The low market right. said they don't. They remember Utah said they didn't have money to pay Carmelo and Stockton.
Yeah.
Okay. What are they saying now? It's double the value now. It's double the price. So they paying them. So they always got the money. They just cry like they don't have the money. But I don't know. I think that in basketball now it's just a different cycle. I mean, you know, you got to give these guys their space. One thing I don't like about it: these guys on podcasts while they playing, you know, in season. Do it during the, you know. In the summertime or some other time. And it just take away from the game.
Hey, Charles, I've always wanted to ask you, it's just now I got your, how did you end up at Virginia Union from here?
So Virginia Union. So yeah. I went to visit a lot of school and, sorry about that.
It's all right.
Show. So I went to, so when I was growing up in Cleveland, you know, inner city of Cleveland, it wasn't the greatest time growing up. That's when it was really rough back in the 70s and 80s. So my thing is, I went to Ohio State. My sister went there. I went to visit. I went to Bowling Green, two other schools. So my thing, when I was in high school, because I played football and basketball, my thing, when I said, let me get not driving this and back home on the weekend, somewhere I had to think about it. So I went like 8 hours away to other 2 hours away. And I just took my shot. I didn't know I was going to be a pro or whatever. I just went there, worked hard, and hey, they said you put hard work in and pay off, and it paid off for me.
Were there guys from that era, high school era? I'm just trying to think.
It was a lot. We had a big class. Brad Sellers, Clint Smith.
Do you still talk to those guys?
Yeah. Matter of fact, Clint came by my mother's house 2 weeks ago. I talked to Brad. Kevin Elk was. It was a lot of talent growing up. You know, catalog was in front of us about 2 or 3 years, but it was a lot. We used to go out and try to see him play in the summer league, but Cleveland had a lot of talent. A lot of guys went different direction. But, I was glad, you know, I went to Union because I – check this out. In 4 years, I only came home one time.
Really?
So,
wow.
One time.
Richmond's that good of a city?
No, it wasn't that. Cleveland was that bad.
Oh.
No, not bad. I'm talking about bad. The streets was bad.
Right.
The streets was bad. So if I didn't get out when I got out, I probably never made it out. I probably been doing like a lot of other my guys, some illegal, this and that. But, you know, I went down, I made some out of it. And, you know, just thank God that, you know, I had a chance to go there. My mother didn't have to pay. She couldn't afford it. So, like I said, I might have got called up because, hey, probably had to get a job or something, but I'm glad I had a little talent because I played football too. So
that's scary.
Yeah.
Were you a defense?
Stuff I'm talking about is in my book, The Last Enforcer. So if you check that book out, you'll see why. You know, not because of the city of Cleveland, but the city of Cleveland was doing real well for older, you know, for older people who work in two family home, and it was a lot of stuff going on. You know, so Cleveland just in the last, you know, 15 years, it went more sideways because they're not rebuilding. Kids going to college, they want to go somewhere fun when they come home for 3 or 4 years, then get a job. So demographic, it ain't, you know, it ain't good, but it's some people here doing real well in Cleveland. So it's either you're young or older or you're young. So the middle class people, you know, I think a lot of them move out.
Charles Oakley joining us. Charles, the former John Hay Hornet, and of course, longtime NBA career, played 19 years. Charles, in getting ready to talk with you, I double checked a couple of things. This is really impressive. In your career, and mainly with the Knicks, but also with Chicago and with Toronto, you played for some unbelievable head coaches: Doug Collins twice, Jeff Van Gundy twice, Don Nelson, Pat Riley, Rick Pitino, Stu Jackson. John McLeod, Lenny Wilkins. Man, that's a who's who of really good coaches.
It's a who's who because a lot of them got wins. So think about the coach who got the wins, somebody got the loss. Some of the coaches wasn't great as they advertised to be, but sometimes wins overshadow stuff. But I'm gonna say that for my next book coming out. But some of the coaches, I get along with them too much because I spoke my mind. So.
Well, that's not a surprise. Now let's be honest about that, right?
I always be honest. That's one thing I'm about, being honest.
Which coach did you like playing for the most?
Yeah,
out of all of them. I mean, they all had their different ways. I think Jeff was a copycat of Pat Riley. I think Don Nelson was just a guy who, drank 6 beers before he come to practice. Don Chaney was just a laid back guy. I think Butch Carter was a good coach
in Toronto.
Real good. He got his own way though. He tried to be one of them coaches who I want to be the president and coach. Just this for first time coaching, you do good. Then the next year he go in and try to undercut the GM and da da da. But he X and O for everything about the game. He might be the best one.
Wow.
And Pat Riley probably next. And Jeff was like Pat Riley, but I think Butch was a better X out of all of them. He was the best X and O guy to me.
That's saying a lot because you played for some really good coaches.
I know.
At least, as you said, from the win standpoint, that's really true.
Pat Riley was good, but he was too controlling. He got the key to the house, so you had to wait for him to get home to get in the house. So he real controlling. he had a way. I gave him respect because he had championship, and I was trying to get a championship. But as you go on life and you play with coaches, he was just even my book I talk about this. He had some weakness, but the weakness I think was, I think the weakness hurt us. So when we always played Chicago, he was trying to be Phil instead of to beat the Bulls. That was my thing. I always said that. Because and my thing, when you're playing the Bulls in that era, you don't sub until they sub. And then I think Pat Riley got into it. He played some, he promised the guys, man, and you promise somebody sub and you're playing against the Bulls, you're automatically going to lose. Because you got to play the guys who's going to keep the game closed, will know what to do with situation. So it was one of them things. But I guess, some coaches they didn't like one another. So, he felt like he was the section coach. He was Phil was one of the best hillbillies, so.
Oh, man. you're killing me, man.
Well, look at LeBron. How can you let LeBron get away from Miami? Come on. You got to, look what happened with Butler. I guess he just, he started he brushed his hair back too long. He should have started combing it forward. Maybe the things would have came back.
Oh, man. I was just trying to fuel my car with some of the stuff he was putting in his hair at one point.
You need to start combing it forward. Maybe he can remember you like, okay, this ain't a way to do that. But he did. That's what he did when he left New York. Everything he was supposed to do, he did in Miami. He said, well, maybe I should have did that.
Good point.
He apologized to New York fans about maybe, it's too late now. Don't apologize 5 years later. We was in the finals, and you made a bad decision with Orlando Blackman. You weren't playing because he wouldn't play with Orlando Blackman because he put his wife on a road trip the series before.
Wow.
Can you believe that?
No. Yes and no. I can believe it.
He did that. He probably did cost us the championship. This man got 20,000 points, and you took a grudge with him because he was like you said, no wives go nowhere until we win the second round. And he's a vet. Like, man, this is my wife. She what am I tell her? No. He was like that though. He held a grudge.
Why can't everyone? Why can't everyone be like you? Why can't everyone be honest like you? Serious. Could you start some kind of media school where you're telling athletes that they should just be like you?
Just speak your mind.
Forget Mike, man. Be like Charles. Oh, my God. This is awesome.
No, it's just, you know, he was, I mean, I don't know. One thing I can say, I ain't say good or bad, but when he first got to New York, he asked me, would you take less minutes? Let me tell you the story. I said, yeah. I mean, I'm trying to win. He said, my minutes went from 34 down to about 27. So the first year and a half, you know, like, I'm keep up with what's going on. So I said, I had a talk with you. So I go back and, you know, I wait till the end of the season. And, you know, we made the playoff, we lost. I said, I've been looking at what you've been telling me, take less minutes. I've seen as a production, I don't care about my production. I go by how on the flow play out. I said, the team play better when I'm on the floor. Hmm. You know, he's like, you know, he like to call plays. Some guys, not energy guys, you know. So I said, I bring energy. I do hustle, I do this. And I said, I think if you let me get back to my 34, 35 minutes, I think you will see a big difference with loose balls, rebounds, charges. So the next year, he put me back in the lineup. I played the whole season. We go to the NBA Finals.
Huh. The numbers back that up, by the way.
It seems too simple.
It's just too simple. They played. See, you know what it was? It was, see, they had too many guys trying to score, no one trying to do the little things. He kept trying to push that, play this guy, but he couldn't play with them because he feel like a lot of guys get caught in their own way. Some guys, I was average 25 on another team. Well, I tell guys, whenever you get traded to another team, unless you're LeBron, James, Curry, or MJ, your number's going to come down, and you got to, your ego got to come down because they traded you. Unless, you know, unless you're number one, especially if they trade you for two players. So it's just some guys feel like once you spoil somebody and then – they looking for the thing. You promise me. You can't promise nobody nothing in sports because you don't know how it's gonna play out. You know, you can promise Michael Jordan, LeBron, or somebody, not a guy on the bench. You know, you should be glad that you get 12 minutes off the bench.
Charles Oakley joining us. Charles, last thought: your hometown team won 64 games in the regular season last year, not able to get it done in the playoffs. Do you like the way the Cavs look and their chances for this season?
I don't know. I mean, they blamed the coach the year before. I mean, I don't know. Because the piece, it's simple what I'm saying is you got to know who can play together. Don't play somebody because you give them $40, $50 million. That don't work all the time. That's what Dallas is just finding out. You know, they wouldn't play the kid, so he want to be traded. He think he's the top three pass rusher in the league. They think he's the number 10. So when you pay a guy – and you got, you might be have a tough agent or whatever, you know, you don't sign this guy, you can't get none of my other guys. But my thing is, the Cavs problem is they got to play tougher. They got real, don't die by the three, get more drives. The big guys just play tough. I mean, this Cleveland, I mean, yeah, always been said mistake on the lake. But my thing is, people, we got to show them that we're not a mistake. We got to show them we for real. We got to show them. I mean, we can't be losing to no Pacers team that don't even have a number one player. They got a guy with a, you know, a jack up three. Step back. He can step in your backyard if you're too close to his house. So they just got to be, hey, stop and say, okay, next year. No, it don't come. Like, you got to check your egos at the door. Somebody got to be a leader. They get a leader and stop just saying, you know, well, you know, we'll make it up next year. It don't come like that. They should have been in the – you win that many games, it's like a lost season. You got people on hopes all high, spending their money, driving, parking, you know, rush hours, this and that, trying to get to the game. And they, this is like a pride and joy for fans to have a conversation when they go on vacation. Well, we went to the finals. We lost what we got there. Next year, every year, you get 3 years for this ride. They got maybe one more year. If they don't do nothing next year, they ain't going to never do nothing. Don't let them walk around Cleveland like, you know, because you win six of them. No, you ain't did nothing. You won six of them games, but you went home in second. That ain't nothing.
Keep it going.
That's a Clevelander talking right
that
there.
That is, man.
That is. Hey, it's always great to catch right. up, Charles.
Thank you so much.
No doubt.
And speaking his mind.
Oh,
Andy,
I wish he would have played for the Cavs.
Oh. I know.
Could you imagine how much fun that would have been? How much fun? I mean, these guys telling you about coaches that were drinking. He's calling old coaches names. I can't wait. I got to get his book. That's like must read right now.
The Last Enforcer.
Got to read that. Oh, man. I mean, we know he's had some stuff that's been kind of fun if you're on the outside talking about what's going on with his life, especially the stuff at Madison Square Garden. But, I mean, fun for us. I'm sure it's not fun for him. Wow. I mean, I was bummed yesterday when we couldn't talk to him. And then it was worth the wait. That was worth 24 hours wait. I was speechless at one point.
Yes, you were, because which doesn't happen very often.
He is a media trainer's worst nightmare because he actually tells you exactly what you – he's telling you the truth, man. There was no sugarcoating anything he said.
Big Oak played for the Browns. We take every press conference.
Oh, good. Oh, you'd listen to that press conference.
Dan Menigan would take a press conference.
If Big Oak played for the Browns, we would take every press conference. That is without hesitation.
How about that?
Because that man will tell you exactly how he feels and has always told you exactly how he felt at all portions of his life.
We should have asked him about the quarterback situation. That would have been good. Although, I could have done another hour with him.
Well, yes. Man. Yes. I don't know Charles well. I've known Charles for a very long time. He's never changed. And by God, you'd never want him to. So it was great to have him on the show.
He's putting his money where his mouth is today, too.
And, you know, he's always done that. I mean, as you said, Andy, we could have talked to him for a real long time. We didn't have a chance to ask him, you know, like when he started the car wash in downtown Cleveland. Because I remember when he did it and he said, I want to put guys to work. And he means that stuff. He's real sincere about it. And he's done a lot of things throughout the community in a number of ways. Bill in Parma wants to add a thought. Hi, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, you guys. Great. That was a great segment. I appreciate you asking the right questions, and you had the right person to answer them. You know, I think what I'm always surprised by having people like Charles Oakley on is that most of the time he answers questions just like we would think the real truth is.
True.
I mean, do we think that Pat Riley was a control freak? No. I mean, obviously. That's obvious. Do we think that Don Nelson was a little bit loose and, you know.
What's he doing now, Dan?
He's got a weed farm in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He's running a pot farm, yeah. And enjoying the product by his own admission.
Right. But what I enjoyed the most of it was really what he had to say about the Cavs. And I think he alluded to the fact that, one, and kind of alluded this to other teams, that when you have ball players that are interested in their scoring and their points, you're not going to win. I mean, you can go kind of far, but you're not going to win. This team still has two or three guys that are just interested in their points. And until that is satisfied and done away with, this thing will continue to be that way. And the other part is, with the Cavs, is they've got to become more physical. And other teams just beat us around. And that has to be addressed. So passing the ball, being more of a team concept, not individual concept, I don't see this team changing. And I hate to say this, but I think Mitchell and Garland, they got to go. And I don't think they're going to change.
What?
And you're going to get rid
of both of them?
Yep, eventually. I think, my opinion, I don't think you'll ever win with Mitchell. That's my opinion. I hate to say that, but he's too me. He's a shooter. Jeff has said this in the past. He's a scorer, not a shooter. And you just don't win with those guys. But anyway, great program. Really enjoyed it.
Bill, glad you enjoyed our conversation with Charles. We did too. And we'll see. He had some comments about the Cavs that, you know, we've touched on things like that. What Bill just touched on, and we asked Charles this immediately, there aren't guys like him in the NBA anymore.
No, there's not. You know what I liked? I liked the story about him saying the minutes. And he said, all right, I'll take less minutes and I'll do that. And then he said, look, we play better when I'm doing more minutes. Where we're in a time where if I told you, Jeff, that you were going to go from 34 to 27 minutes, you may say,
Good. I get to conserve myself.
And I might get a couple more years on my contract because I can play in the league a little bit longer because I'm not, you know, I'm not burning out.
Well, let me throw this at you. And just to give context to what Charles was talking about, because the minute he said that, I wanted to check it out. He was only 28 years old when Pat Riley came in as the coach. And the year before in New York, he had played a lot of minutes. And then all of a sudden, Pat comes in. And for 2 years, Charles' minutes went from 36 a game, basically, the 2 years before Pat Riley, to 28 minutes and 27 minutes. And his scoring went from double figures down to 6.2 and 6.9. And his rebounding went from double figures to 8.5 and 8.6 in those 2 years. And then Charles said he had the conversation with Pat. Pat put him back on the floor. His scoring didn't go back up drastically, but it went back up to 11.8 to double figures, and his rebounding, 11.8. And that's what's, to me, that style of player is just not prevalent enough in the NBA. Charles was big. He was physical. He would set picks. He would play defense. He would do everything that the team needed to help win and facilitate the other guys, Andy, to do their job. And this isn't Cavs. This is the NBA.
Can we
today.
Equate that to any other guy in any other sport? Like some of the things.
You know who that comes closest to him in my estimation?
Hey, I'm going to write down a name. I just want to see what
you're saying. All right. And it's a different position, but.
Okay. All right. Well, keep going.
You know who I. You might not like the guy at all. Draymond Green does a lot of things to help his team win. And sometimes he has to score points, and sometimes he doesn't score points and everything else. But Draymond does a lot of the dirty work.
Yeah.
And Charles did all of the dirty work. You need rebounds? Here, that's what I do. I do rebounds. And I can score a little bit. Yep. I can score more if you want me to, but he didn't have to. And he just did everything that needed to be done. And he called himself the last enforcer in his book.
And he's right. Right? Don't you think that's kind of the way? I mean, there are times that we sit here and we talk about having someone to, I don't, maybe it was because we watched the Bad Boy Pistons at points. And let's face it. I mean, Larry Bird played gritty and dirty sometimes. You know, those kind of players. I just don't, what,
with like the scoring, game. Yeah,
the game isn't that. Like, I always think about box out, you know, when we were younger, and just guys moving guys with their rear end to get them out of the paint so they can get a rebound. I don't feel like that's the game anymore. And it's just, there's no, you know what I'm saying? And we talk about how the playoffs are, you know, things get tougher in the playoffs. They let a lot of things go, blah, 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 blah. And then when you think about it, the reality of it is playoffs is kind of his era, maybe a little bit lighter when it comes to the physicality of the game.
Yeah.
Guys last longer. There's no question about that. But it's just, I don't know if I...
Andy, Charles played the way he played.
Yeah.
Until he was 40. He played in the NBA until the age of 40. Now, he didn't play much.
Played like a football player sometimes, right?
Yeah. I mean, when he was 40, he played in only 7 games for the Houston Rockets. But Jeff Van Gundy brought him back because Jeff was in Houston then. Hmm. But he played, and it's interesting because the way his career ended, you know, he played in Toronto for Butch Carter and then for Lenny. And then he ended up in Chicago for a year. So he went back to the Bulls.
I was interested to hear what he had to say about Lenny because we didn't. He talked about the other guys.
We could have gone into so much detail on so many
I'm assuming
guys.
That based on what he said, that Lenny might have been kind of upper middle of the road for him as far as those coaches.
I didn't, to be honest, Andy, I didn't even mention Butch Carter in the list of coaches that he played for because Butch did not have the same kind of coaching career that so many of these other guys had. You know, I mean, think about who he played for. Doug Collins.
Right.
Everybody knew Doug. Jeff Van Gundy, Don Nelson, Pat Riley, John McLeod, legendary coach, Lenny. And he picked Butch Carter as the best X's and O's guy. But he went back and played with Doug Collins in Washington for a year. Was in 42 games there. It's just a different type of guy. And imagine, and this is what I think, why I've mentioned about the Cavs and a big guy. Imagine if they could find a Charles Oakley type of player and put him along with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley on the inside. Hmm. Now, that would be a nice compliment, you know? But try finding a guy like Charles Oakley in this day and age in the NFL. Great to have him with us. If you missed the interview, go back and listen to it on our website, 923thefan.com or on the Odyssey app. And we thank Charles for being with us and the work that he's doing here in the community. A former draft busted quarterback had some interesting comments about the Browns' rookie quarterbacks. We'll share those with you next on Baskin and Phelps.